We need to talk about what's going on with fast food apps. The rewards, the endless notifications, the free fries. Why does every single fast food place suddenly need you to download an app? Something weird is going on here, and I've been quietly investigating. For the past few months, I've been testing every major fast food app, tracking deals, logging reward systems, timing how long it takes to place an order, and yes, even inventing my own extremely scientific metric, the Mayo test. All to answer one question. Are these apps actually worth it? In this video, I'll break down the rise of fast food apps, how they're changing our behavior, why some people love them, why others don't, and most importantly, I'm ranking every single one in a tier list using a custom framework I built just for this. This isn't your average ranking video. I crunched the numbers, tested customization options, timed real orders, and analyzed point systems to figure out which apps are secretly saving you money and which ones are wasting your time. Let's dive in. Ordering food through an app didn't just appear out of nowhere. This has been slowly simmering for almost 30 years. Believe it or not, the first online food order happened way back in 1994 on a website called PizzaNet. Fast forward to a couple decades, and now nearly every major fast food chain has its own online food ordering system, mainly in the form of a mobile app. And these apps aren't just popular, they're core to fast food chains' business models. In a 2024 earnings call, Starbucks revealed that 60% of their US morning orders now come from Starbucks Reward members, most of whom order through the app. McDonald's is in the same boat. In their 2022 annual investors report, the company said digital sales, including mobile and kiosk orders, made up nearly a third of their total global sales. And in 2023, McDonald's CEO Chris Kazemski put it plainly, the app is the gateway into the McDonald's experience. So yeah, these apps aren't just an option. For many, they've quickly become the default. But this change has resulted in a mixture of feelings. Some praise these apps as convenient gifts from the fast food gods, while others are disgusted by the idea of being forced to download an app from a company like McDonald's or Burger King. Last fall, when I did a video on fast food pricing, many of you made it clear you hated these apps. Then, if you look at the App Store, despite mostly positive reviews, there are many that outright hate these apps. Clickbait, scam, pathetic, cringe, the app lies. This person was so disgusted with Jimmy John's app, they named themselves on the Apple App Store Jimmy John Hater, saying they were extremely disappointed and that the app uses scummy tactics. I think this Reddit post sums up the hate nicely.
Fast food companies with apps are detached from reality. What kind of entry-level Gen Z marketing mastermind decided that every fast food company needed an app? McDonald's is charging over $4 for French fries now. Yet, if you use their app, you get free Fry Fridays. WTF is this?
So yeah, a lot of people hate these apps, but to fully understand why, we need guidelines. What makes a fast food app good or bad? Well, at the minimum, most of these apps, if working properly, should save you time. Seriously, think about it. The idea that you can use an app at, for example, Chipotle, order exactly what you want, how you want it, walk in, grab your food without dealing with anyone is great. That saves you time. And for most people with a limited lunch schedule, that extra 5 to 10 minutes you save from not standing in line could be used for anything, like watching YouTube videos. Not to mention, if you have coworkers or friends, it's so much easier to have everyone order through the app than annoying everyone in a regular line with a massive order. So time is definitely one of the most important aspects of these apps to explore. Secondly, many of these apps promise money-saving deals. And while your mom likely had a coupon drawer years ago, today, we now have this. There's nothing wrong with trying to save money. As far as I'm concerned, coupons are cool. You shouldn't be shamed about trying to stretch your dollar, because guess what? It's your dollar. And like the idea of saving time with these apps, if there's a way we can save money too, great. Some sort of loyalty system, even better. Nothing is worse than when an app oversells on a promise of saving money. So there's time, money, and what else? Well, for the third area of fast food app judgment, I wanted to see what kind of customizations these apps offer. Because, say it with me, what is life without customization? I like my Counter-Strike M4A1S skin. I like little stickers that I put on a skateboard that I never use. I like to replace my hard taco in a box with a soft one and swap the cinnamon twists with chips and cheese. I think giving consumer options in an easy-to-use manner is essential for a fast food app to be considered good. And these are the three most important factors I explored. With these, we can get a solid base on how worth it these apps truly are. There's a lot to unpack here with a lot of apps, so let's start with time. Time is a tricky thing to measure, depending on the store, the shift, or whether it's 12:01 p.m. and the lunch rush looks like an old school midnight launch, your experience will vary wildly. No. Well, I mean, are you, where? So instead of trying to track how long it takes from order to pick up at any regular location, which is chaos, I've decided to do something more controlled. I timed how long it takes to place an order through an app itself. If I can open the app, select my meal, and check out in a reasonable time, that's a win. But if I'm wading through slow loading screens, upsell prompts, and confusing menus, I'm calling that what it is, wasted time. Now, obviously, this isn't perfect science, but that's not the point. What I can measure is how many hurdles these apps put between you and just ordering some damn food. Because in a perfect world, ordering fast food is, you know, fast. So I created something I'm calling the ABCO system, patent pending. The system breaks down places by food or order type. The main group, Group A, stands for assorted sandwich meals, which includes places where I simulated ordering a standard burger, chicken, or sandwich meal. Think Burger King, Arby's, Popeyes, McDonald's, and Sonic. Group B is for the build your own spots, where you're more likely to customize your entree. Places like Subway, Chipotle, and Jimmy John's. Obviously, customization takes longer on these apps because building a burrito or sub obviously takes more time than just tapping Big Mac. These apps get a little more leniency, but you'll see what I mean later. Then Group C, the coffee apps. How fast can I launch the app, get through the prompts, and order just one coffee? And then finally, Group O, for other. Honestly, I didn't know where else to put Taco Bell, so I just put them there, but I simulated ordering a standard meal with no customization, keeping it consistent with Group A. Again, not a flawless system, but we are in uncharted food tech territory. So with the ABCO system, a stopwatch, and recording all my times, I found some really interesting takeaways. Okay, quick break from tearing into fast food apps to talk about something I think a lot of people get wrong, plant-based meat. That's right, this video is sponsored by Beyond Meat. After my last documentary where I did a deep dive on vegetarian fast food, Beyond actually reached out and offered to send me some of their food to try. And honestly, it slaps. You might remember one of the biggest struggles I had during that challenge was getting enough protein while still keeping things vegetarian. That's why I was generally impressed with their newest Beyond Burger, now made with avocado oil. It has 21 grams of protein, no cholesterol, and way less saturated fat than beef. It's kind of the perfect fit for what I wish I had during that challenge. And what's it made out of? Well, just clean, simple ingredients like peas, red lentils, and avocado oil, processed in a way that's honestly more like making pasta. With heat, pressure, and cooling, they're able to shape plant ingredients so they feel and taste like meat when you bite into them. It's very cool food tech. And no, you don't have to be a vegetarian to enjoy it. In fact, over 80% of Beyond Meat customers still eat meat, which honestly blew my mind, but totally makes sense. I've been trying to cut back on red meat myself, and this is a pretty easy swap. Please check out Beyond Meat using the link in the description to learn more. Thanks again, Beyond Meat, for sponsoring this video. Now let's get back to it. So after testing the order times for all 19 different fast food apps, here's what I found. Popeyes, Five Guys, and Chick-fil-A had pretty solid times in the assorted sandwich section. These apps ran fast. They had no pop-ups and just did what they were designed to do, let you order food. On average, apps like these were about 10 seconds faster than ones like KFC or Wendy's. Why? Mostly because those slower apps hit you with two pop-ups before you can even check out. And look, I get it. I know they're trying to upsell us, but there's a less intrusive way. Take Burger King or Chick-fil-A. Instead of interrupting you with pop-ups, they use a little upsell bar beneath your final order. Subtle, non-intrusive, way better. No one likes pop-ups. Stop trying to make pop-ups happen. If I pressed order, that means I'm done. I want to place my order. This just pisses me off. In a drive-thru, sure, the would you like to round up for charity line is fine. But this isn't charity. This is just digital peer pressure. Another interesting tidbit I discovered from the tests was how much faster Starbucks app was compared to Dunkin' Donuts. It feels like Starbucks prioritizes coffee a bit more than Dunkin' does. For example, just compare the menus. Starbucks puts coffee right at the top, no surprise there. Dunkin', on the other hand, leads with meal deals and promotions. And then Dunkin' has this other menu on the main homepage, but the order button is in the bottom right, while Starbucks has the button in the center, which to me feels way more streamlined. To be completely honest, I didn't even see Dunkin's order button until after I was reviewing my tests. You don't normally think about this stuff, but honestly, these little design choices add up. And they definitely make a difference in how long it takes to order something like a cup of coffee. The build your own spots varied a lot too. Subway's setup is kind of a mess. They have so many options for what you can add on a sub that it takes forever to scroll down and find something simple like mayo. Plus the text boxes are huge, it feels clunky. Compare that to Jersey Mike's, where everything is smaller, more streamlined, and easier to navigate. It made the whole ordering process feel way faster and way less overwhelming. Overall, some apps just made ordering feel smoother than others. Whether it was small design choices, load times, or how aggressively they pushed pop-ups, the differences really added up. But let's talk about another important aspect of fast food apps. When it comes to saving money on fast food apps, things can get a little tricky. Some apps offer digital coupons, while some apps have created their own loyalty/reward point systems. Not all, but most. Whether it's stars, crowns, shore points, or some other branded currency, these companies love to gamify the experience, so you really don't have to think about how much you're spending just to earn something for free. But here's the thing, not all reward programs are created equal. They vary a lot in how they're structured, how fast you earn points, and what kind of value you actually get back. So I sat down, crunched the numbers, and I figured out exactly which ones are the best, and this is kind of mind-blowing. To figure all this out, I created what I'm calling the Fast Food App Money Saving Index, a simple 10-point scale that breaks down how much value each app actually gives you. The score is split into two main categories, deals and reward systems, each worth up to 5 points for a total of 10. By default, any app that offers a reward program earns 2.5 points, and the same goes for apps that regularly offer coupons or digital deals. The rest of the score is based on quality. How good are the rewards actually, and how much are you really saving? To calculate that, I had to do a lot of math and digging. First, I mapped out every chain's reward point system, and right off the bat, we could eliminate a bunch. Five Guys, Jimmy John's, Panera Bread, Raising Cane's, and Sonic get a big zero in this category. They don't offer reward programs at all. Some do coupons, which we'll cover later, but no reward point system. For the apps that do have loyalty systems, I looked at two things. One, how many points you earn per dollar spent, and two, how many points you need to get something for free. For example, both KFC and Popeyes use the same point system, 10 points per dollar spent. But when it comes to redemption, things change. At KFC, 500 points gets you a free chicken sandwich. At Popeyes, it takes 600 points. Both sandwiches are priced at around $5, which means at KFC, you need to spend just $50 to get a free sandwich, where at Popeyes, you'd need to spend $60. Using this type of logic and these numbers, we can find a true value percentage, how much percentage value you get from how much money you've spent. In this case, KFC's reward point system is 10%, while Popeyes is 8.33%, meaning KFC gives you a better return on your spending. Again, I just want to emphasize, these are the same point systems on paper, but a very different deal in practice because of how these apps allow you to use your points. Using this value-based system, we can learn a lot. So I did this for every fast food app that had a reward point system and ranked them by true value percentage. Dairy Queen, believe it or not, was ranked first. A lot of people don't even realize they have a reward point system, but they actually offer one of the best returns. You earn 10 points per dollar, and with just 500 points, aka $50, you can get a blizzard of any size. If you get the largest, that's a $6.29 value, which works out to be almost a 13% return. McDonald's also scores high compared to others. You get 100 points per dollar and it takes 6,000 points to get a Big Mac, which means spending about $60. But since a Big Mac runs about $5.79, that gives you almost a 10% return. Then you've got Starbucks, which is kind of the poster child for fast food loyalty programs, but also, believe it or not, the worst value. $1 equals 1 star. And it takes 100 stars to get a free drink. So yeah, you have to spend $100 just to get a $3 coffee. That's about a 3% return. And somehow people rant and rave about it. Now, it's worth mentioning that some of these apps offer things like double point days, bonus rewards, or even access to exclusive merch. Some also have tiered systems where the more you spend, the more perks you unlock. But I didn't factor those into the equation, and honestly, I don't think it would be fair to. While some people might see those little extras as a positive, I'd argue that when we're talking strictly about saving money, they can actually be a negative. Dangling double points or bonus tiers in front of you might feel like a deal, especially if you eat fast food all the time, but for the average person, you're not saving money by chasing elite Taco Bell status. You're just being nudged to spend more, not save more. Anyways, finding the true value of these reward point programs is great, but only part of the fast food app money-saving index equation. We have to talk about coupons and in-app deals, which are honestly some of the hardest to quantify parts of this whole fast food app ecosystem. First off, when I say coupons and in-app deals, I'm not talking about things like free birthday guac or a one-time sign-up bonus. I'm talking about actual reoccurring savings, like a $5 off a $15 order once a month, or a regular BOGO sandwich offer. These are the kind of deals that show up again and again, not just as a one-time perk. But here's the tricky part, they're all over the place. Unlike reward points, which are structured and for the most part numerically consistent for everyone, coupons are, how should I say, hyper-variable. They change depending on your region, your own buying habits, even your local franchisee's mood. What I see in my app might not show up for you at all. And then there's how people use them. If you're just ordering a solo lunch, a free fries with a purchase coupon might be great. But if you're buying dinner for three people, the same coupon isn't worth as much as something like $5 off a $25 order. That's a great deal if you're spending $25. Otherwise, it just encourages you to buy more than what you were originally going to. It also doesn't help that some franchisees just refuse to play along. Subway is a prime example. They're kind of infamous for this. I didn't score them well because every single local Subway I visited refused to accept app coupons. This is despite the fact that as of 2023, corporate announced that franchisees were no longer allowed to reject digital promotions. And yet, they did. So technically, yes, Subway offers coupons, but not always. All of this to say, coupon value is incredibly subjective. It depends on where you live, what kind of eater you are, and how consistent the franchise system is in your area. And all of that directly influenced how I scored these apps in the fast food app money saving index. If I had to highlight the two apps that give the best experience with coupons, it would be, believe it or not, Arby's and Wendy's. During my deep dive, Arby's consistently offered monthly coupons, sometimes simple ones like 20% off your order, and sometimes pretty wild ones like a completely free sandwich. All the hundreds of people who eat Arby's rejoice. I used a coupon for a sandwich that was no joke worth $8, and that's insane value, like a little too good of a deal. Wendy's also impressed me. Their app has an entire tab filled with usable coupons, not hidden, not tied to any weird conditions, and most of them actually worked for whatever I was ordering. It wasn't just one or two offers, they had a full rotation, and I could just use them pretty much any time. If you're going to Wendy's without checking the app first, you're probably leaving free food on the table. On top of that, a ton of apps just don't bother with coupons at all, either because they lean on the reward point system, or just because they don't really feel like offering savings. Those apps obviously got zeros in this category. The rest, some highs, some lows, a mixed bag. But with both the reward points and in-app deals tallied up, the fast food app money saving index was finally complete. Check this out. Wendy's, KFC, and McDonald's came out on top, offering a strong combination of solid rewards and reliable coupons. Not far behind were Burger King, Dairy Queen, Popeyes, and Jersey Mike's, which held their own with decent value and occasional deals. And then at the very bottom, we have Five Guys, Jimmy John's, and Raising Cane's, apps that frankly do almost nothing when it comes to coupons or rewards. They might serve good food, but if you're looking to save money through their apps, you're out of luck. Okay, next is what might be the most underrated aspect of the whole fast food app ecosystem, customization. Fast food in 2025 isn't about just grabbing a cheeseburger and fries. We live in a society of special sauces and dietary restrictions. And if I'm going to use an app, it better let me build my food exactly how I want it. So this part of the testing is all about control. How much can you customize your order, and how easy is it to do? You might be wondering how we would test something like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Mayo test. The Mayo test is yet another totally patent-pending tool I invented for this experiment. And here's how it works. Mayo is chaos. We've all had a sandwich ruined by way too much mayo. For some people, too much mayo is literally a crime against humanity, possibly punishable by jail time. So for those of us who like just the right amount, the Mayo test checks whether the app gives you that power. It's a three-tier system. Fast food apps can fail, pass, or pass plus the Mayo test. If an app doesn't let you easily remove mayo, you fail. If you can remove the mayo but can't adjust the amount, it's just on and off, that's a pass. But if an app lets you actually choose how much mayo you want, none, light, regular, or extra, that's a pass plus. Because you're in full control of the mayo amount and your sandwich destiny. This is surprisingly an effective way to measure a fast food app's overall customization ability. And the best part? It applies across a ton of different orders. For example, if you order a Big Mac from McDonald's, which normally comes with Big Mac sauce, in the app you can remove the special sauce entirely or request light, regular, or extra. The same option structure exists with Taco Bell. Crunchwrap Supremes come with nacho cheese, and on the app you can select no nacho cheese, easy, regular, or extra. So both apps would get a pass plus. Meanwhile, an app like Raising Cane's offers no easy way to take off mayo from your sandwich, and thus it fails. And with that, we finally have the last piece of the puzzle between the Mayo test, the fast food app money saving index, and of course the fast food ordering time trials. I think it's time to bring everything together for the official fast food app rankings. And remember, this is completely correct, and if you disagree, you are simply wrong. Raising Cane's is easily the worst app I tested. It failed the Mayo test, scored poorly on the ABCO system, and offers no coupons or reward point systems. Just an all-around mess. The brand has a huge cult following, but the app doesn't reflect that loyalty at all. You'd think a place with such passionate fans that focus on really just four main menu items could at least reward you for returning, but nope, nothing. F tier. Five Guys also earns a well-deserved spot here. For starters, their app doesn't let you take screenshots or screen record, and at first I thought it was maybe just on my end, but I looked at the reviews and apparently this is an issue for multiple people. I've generally never seen anything like this. Fast food apps, regular apps, none of them block screenshots, so like, why is Five Guys doing this? I don't know. Do they have something that they're hiding? Does the military secretly use this app? Who knows? But the app is objectively bad. There's no coupons, no reward programs, minimal customization. For a place that sells $10 burgers, you'd hope for literally any perk. Another F. After that, we have Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's gets a pass plus on the Mayo test, but that's about it. It offers zero coupons and the app is clunky as hell. Compared to all the other sub apps, it's easily the worst with pretty much no strong qualities. It's a waste of storage space and a perfect example of how not to do digital. Welcome to the F tier. Now for the D tier, starting with Panera. Panera gets a pass plus on the Mayo test, but that's where the compliments stop. They offer almost no reoccurring coupons or real money-saving features. Yes, they do have a monthly drink subscription, but you have to pay for that, so I don't really think that's fair to count towards this analysis. They do offer coupons occasionally, but you have to go like four times to get a coupon. So at that point, I feel like it's a reward point system, but not a reward point system that you can see or really like track in an easy way. So yeah, at least they offer something. It's not the worst thing ever, but it's still bad. D tier. Next, Sonic. Sonic offers a few scattered coupons here and there and gets a pass plus on the Mayo test, but it has no reward point system and nothing that makes it really stand out. The app feels like it exists purely out of obligation. It's not terrible, but also not good. So I would say D tier. This one might be a little controversial. Starbucks practically invented mobile ordering, yet when we compare them to other coffee apps, they're at the bottom. Sure, the app is clean and easy to use, but the reward point system is atrocious. You need to spend $100 to get a drink worth about $3. That's again a 3.25% return, one of the worst value rates of any app I tested. It's the final app I'm putting in the D tier and maybe the most overrated. Next is the C tier, which are the apps that had some good and some bad, or were just straight up average. The apps that belong here were Arby's, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Subway, Taco Bell, and Dunkin'. Arby's is a perfect example of a C tier fast food app. Arby's has some great coupons, but no loyalty system, passed the mayo test, and is pretty average when it comes to order time. If Arby's gave more customizable options and came up with a reward point system, it would be great. But until then, it's just average, C tier. As for the rest, Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, and Subway, they all have reward point systems, but their scores on the fast food money app saving index were either low or just average. Take Subway, for example. Their reward system ranked 12th overall. Sure, at least they have one, but with a return rate of 4.62%, it's far from impressive. As you'll see later, there are plenty of apps that offer significantly better value. After C is B, and here's where we are actually getting into, in my opinion, the good apps. The ones that, if you frequent these establishments, I would say you should definitely use. Starting off with Dairy Queen. The DQ app provides a solid amount of coupons for you to use, but what really makes it stand out is the reward system. What holds the app back is that it's not the most user-friendly, isn't particularly fast to use, and didn't score a pass plus on the mayo test. As I covered in my last video, you can't take chicken off their chicken salad. Come on. Figure that out. That said, it's still a solid app, especially for ice cream lovers, and easily earns a B tier. Then there's Wendy's. Like Dairy Queen, it really shines in both the rewards and coupons categories. Wendy's ranked 4th in the true value section with a return of 8.91%. It's a good app, but could be great. It scored one of the worst times on the ABCO system and hits you with 2 pop-ups during the order process. That alone makes the app a little bit annoying to use. The only other app that does this, KFC. And like Wendy's, KFC gets a B. The app suffers from a combination of pop-ups and clunky design. Despite having great deals, it just doesn't live up to its full potential. Wrapping up the B tier is Dunkin'. Dunkin' also suffers from pop-ups. Seeing a trend here? The app delivers the best value for money when it comes to coffee rewards, which is cool, but the app can be confusing at times to navigate. For example, the full menu isn't easily accessible. It's not terrible, but it's definitely not great either. Dunkin' lands comfortably in the B tier. Now we've reached the A tier, and honestly, a few of these apps really surprised me, starting with McDonald's, which does deal with the occasional pop-up, but it offers one of the better reward rates, ranking 3rd overall with a 9.65% return. The app includes regular coupons, like Free Fry Fridays, passes the mayo test with a pass plus, and is overall just a solid fast food app. It's clear to me that McDonald's is focusing a lot of time and energy in their app, and as annoying as their push is for you to use their app, at least it's one of the best. Next up is Burger King. Like McDonald's, it passes the mayo test and scores well on the money saving index. Its reward program is decent, but it really shines in the coupon department. I've used so many Burger King coupons over the years, I'm almost embarrassed to admit. BK gets a bad rep sometimes, but when it comes to app value, it's absolutely there. Trust me, you can always find a good deal. Then, before we hit the final tier, the S tier, there's one last app that belongs in the A tier, Jersey Mike's. This one really surprised me because we just had a Jersey Mike's open up in our area, and I actually have never gone there until recently. And when I walked in the store, no joke, the employees knew me, which was cool. But more importantly, the app itself is easy to use. It passes the mayo test and has the best true value percentage of any fast food subplace at 8.33%. I wish their point system wasn't so gimmicky. It has this weird conversion rate that makes you do some math. But overall, it's good and definitely worth your time. Solid A tier. And finally, the S tier. This app was the only one to get green across all tests. It was the fastest app on the ABCO system, passed the mayo test, and ranked in the top 5 for value with an 8.33% return. Popeyes. Yes, Popeyes is S tier. And I was shocked too, because I don't even really eat there, like at all. But the tests don't lie. The app itself is great. It's fast. It allows you to be highly customizable, and it offers great value with both coupons and a rewards point program. There's really nothing I could critique. Maybe, if anything, I would just say the rewards program should be a little bit better, but again, when you compare the coupons, how the app runs, and everything else, it's clear to me that it's the best app out there. It just does everything right. So are fast food apps worth it? Well, that depends. Because while they promise convenience and savings, the reality is a little bit more complicated. I mean, clearly, I had to build an entire testing system and create a full-on tier list just to figure them out. Sure, some apps generally make things easier. You can save time, skip lines, and actually save money. But others, they're riddled with pop-ups, slow load times, clunky interfaces, and often dangle free items in front of you for what turns out to be pretty minimal savings. And that brings us to the bigger question. Why does every fast food chain suddenly want you to download their app? It's not just about convenience, it's about data. When you use their app, they know what you like, how often you order, how vulnerable you might be to ordering a dessert. It's behavioral economics just repackaged in a combo meal. The goal isn't to serve you, it's to nudge you, to subtly push you to come back, spend more, and develop habits that benefit them. From a business perspective, it makes perfect sense. Apps can lead to reduced labor costs, increase repeat orders, and let brands send you targeted deals directly to your phone. It's way cheaper than running a commercial and way more personalized. From a user perspective, it's a mixed bag. Many people online say these apps lie or are scams. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say they're often overpromising. The idea that you'll save tons of money sounds great, but most of the time it's small discounts, minor perks, and occasional freebies, if you're lucky. It's not fraud, it's just marketing. And sometimes that marketing oversells what you're actually getting. So here's the final takeaway. Fast food apps can be useful, but only when they respect your time, your money, and your ability to say no to that second burger. Use the good ones, delete the bad ones, and don't be afraid to be that guy who still walks in and orders at the counter like it's 2005. I hope this video was interesting, maybe even educational. Honestly, I feel like I should be in a psych ward right now because I've spent months buried in one of the most bizarre niche corners of the fast food world. So if you're still watching, thank you. Also, thank you to Beyond Meat for sponsoring this video. And of course, an extra special thanks to my amazing Patreon supporters. You guys are the MVPs. I will see you all next time.